Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast, where we have a T20 special for you today. Firstly, we're going to talk about England in the West Indies, the most relevant, exciting cricket matches of all time. England got smashed, then they smashed the West Indies, but then they felt like maybe they smashed them too hard, so they let the West Indies only lose by one run. we'll talk about how and why, etc. And we're finally going to get round to the IPL retentions list. We're going to do a game of winners and losers. I've picked five winners, I've picked five losers. I'm going to run them past you two and see whether you agree. Before we get to all of that, though, we do messages, don't we? First message is that my name is Jack Hope. I'm with Ross Legg and Max Rowe-Brown. Next voice you hear will be Ross with the messages.
Yep, indeed. It's obviously been a little bit of a while since you've done that, Jack. But it's follow us at The Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And you should also know that if you're watching this on YouTube, that you should like this video, you should subscribe to our channel because we're on the road to 10K. We need, 600 more people for 10,000 people? That's pretty good going for three random blokes talking about cricket. So continue to do that. And if you're listening to us on Spotify, they've got a new rating feature. We've got 146 ratings, 4.8 stars. Give us a 5-star, push us up the rankings. And also Patreon. We have worked tirelessly to change what we've done on Patreon. We've now got a Discord channel. We've got IPL data on there. We've got all kinds of stuff, which is definitely
bonus
worth
shows. Extra bonus shows a month. Q&As with us, where we'll hear your voice. It's exciting. Patreon.com/thecricketpod. Max, your turn to speak.
Hello.
I think we're going to talk about England v West Indies.
Yeah,
I don't know. Do we need to summarise both the games or what? We normally
throw it to you. I could do one very quick summary of both, maybe.
Yeah, do that, please.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, England very quickly ended up in the West Indies, playing on Saturday night, not long after the Ashes was actually over. It came along so quickly, it caught us all by surprise. Ross, Jack and myself were actually at the pub for Ross's birthday, so that was a good thing for us because we avoided having to sit through England being befuddled by a slightly difficult pitch where West Indies took all of the pace off and had England about 5 wickets down after about 20 runs, and it was a massive disaster. England crawled their way to 100 and the West Indies very promptly knocked all of those runs off for the loss of just one wicket. A pretty chastening start to the series and probably not the way Sam Billings wanted to welcome his 5 million mile round trip that he had to take to get there. And then England came roaring back in the second game, batting first again. This time they managed to get to grips with the pitch. Started a bit slowly, then Jason Roy kicked on by taking about 28 runs, was it, off one Fabian Allen over. Helped England to a pretty good target of 171 for 8. And then England, as you said, Jack, battered the West Indies for the large majority of the innings until, for some reason, they decided that they weren't going to bother trying to finish the game and almost lost with 30 runs needed off the final over. That was a cracking effort.
It was one of the biggest 38-over batterings you'll see in T20 cricket. It was not a contest whatsoever. And then it ended up being a one-run margin of victory. So if you just saw that, you'd be like, thriller. Two of the, I don't know if I'm going to say worst. Yeah, I'm going to say worst cricket matches of all time. They mean nothing. The players are B team from an England point of view. The pitch is iffy. They've both been pretty one-sided. They're my talking points. Does anyone want to do something positive? Because that's all I can muster.
My first note here is that I reckon it's a terrible joke, but I'm going to say it anyway because I've not done this in a while. Is that Max? Who do you think the person? I've written this terribly. absolutely written this terribly.
Wow.
Who hates Sam Billings the most?
I don't know, Ross. Who hates Sam Billings the most?
It's Greta Thunberg because of his global footprint, because of all the travelling he's had to do.
It's not really a joke. That's shocking.
Which comedy school did you go to? He did choose to... Well, he didn't choose, but he did drive 500 miles instead of flying across Australia. So he's got a bit of carbon credit in the bank, hasn't he?
Just to your point, coming all that way and then unfortunately succumbing to... They're not great games, Jack, but they're still... T20 cricket's good fun and I think it's quite entertaining. Like, I watched the one on Sunday and actually really enjoyed it. So the hitting in that was pretty spectacular. You saw the best of kind of both teams. And also the worst of both teams. So it's not too bad, I don't think.
I don't know. For me, I don't really understand why you do something that is completely meaningless.
Well, we do a cricket podcast.
No, I know. But like sometimes it feels relevant, doesn't it? People, you know, listen to it and give us feedback and it affects people's life and hopefully improves their lives or at least, you know, gives them a kind of a something of a conduit to blow off some steam when England fail again. But I just don't understand why these matches are happening.
Well, it's relevant for the West Indies, isn't it? Okay. Yeah, they're putting out an actual side. They get a chance to play some T20 cricket against. It might be England's B team, but it's still got quite a lot of England's... Well, it's not completely England's B team, is it? It's got Jason Roy and Adil Rashid and Moeen Ali in there. It's still a reasonably competent outfit. And they had an absolutely torrid World Cup, which, everyone backed them and they were a disaster. So they've got some work to do in the T20 front and it's a good opportunity for them to put that behind them and try and start afresh. So I think it probably actually means something to the West Indies from their point of view.
But here's my thing here, though, is that's not what the CPL is for. You know, we've got the CPL, we've got the IPL, we've got the 100, we've got the Big Bash. Is that not sort of where you go and you practice?
These are practice matches. Let's be honest, Jack. You look at the Blast, the CPL and the BBL. They're all tournaments that have a large proportion of, as you might put it, farmers in the ranks. There are some less high quality players sort of padding out the teams in those T20 franchise tournaments, which is why they need to play against, you know,
objection.
England.
Objection. There's some less high quality players padding out this England team.
Yeah, but we also, you can't have such a short-term memory, right? Like West Indies came over to England when the pandemic had struck and it was going to decimate kind of ECB's and Tom Harrison's bonus. And we've now had to repay the favour. And we're so going over money. There to play this. It's purely money. It's good for West Indies cricket. It's good for English cricket.
I'm playing devil's advocate to some extent here. Yeah, I understand that there's an amount of goodwill. And by goodwill, I mean cash. The ECB effectively owes the West Indies Cricket Board. Mm. So I do see why they go there. And Max, you do make some okay points, I think, around the West Indies players getting a run out.
Although England's side has got Tymal Mills, Moeen Ali, Adil Rashid, Chris Jordan, Jason Roy, Owen Morgan. They were all at the World Cup, so not...
Yeah, but, you know, it's the ghost of Owen Morgan, isn't it?
It is the ghost of Owen Morgan.
It's the ghost of Chris Jordan.
it's been a ghost for a while. I think, just on the back of the Ashes, that's the thing. Like, it's such a short time, isn't it? I mean, we've barely even recovered. Barely even recovered from that battery.
It's a bit hard to go from that time zone to, you know, the West Indies time zone for England fans, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, matches finishing at 7 in the morning. To finishing at 10:30, that is cruel. Or 11, or whatever it is.
Should we actually talk about the cricket? There are a couple of things to talk about the cricket. So I think England's batting approach in the first game, I think it's probably the first bit to talk about. I thought loads of the pundits actually let themselves down. So pundits, journalists, or whatever, because they were pretty much comparing England's woeful Ashes performances with this one. And they're not comparing the same thing. You're comparing pretty much a different sport, a different team, different coaching.
Different ball, different conditions, different time of day, different opposition.
Yeah, but they got out, didn't they?
And they're just like, oh, they've lost loads of wickets. It's a disgrace. Like, what the hell are England doing? Blah, blah, blah. Well, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, England's approach to white ball cricket always means that there's a high risk of this happening. Like, one in, I don't know, 25 games is going to be like this, potentially.
Yeah. Especially on a bit of a sticky wicket.
Yeah,
and like, you know, but I think what they're going for, Ross, is kind of more of a literary criticism. So you take an author, Cormac McCarthy, he will write lots of books, but they will have themes that mm-hmm. track across different ones. It won't be the same characters, they won't be doing the same thing, but it will be set in the West. There'll be some mysticism. The style of writing will be the same. That is what they're going for here. They're saying, you know, England, the author, they did the Ashes. And they've carried on with the West Indies, and we don't like either of them. Can you please change this?
They wrote a novel. It was shit. They've come back with some short stories. They're also shit.
I just think it's a bit lazy.
I saw the highlights. This is really the only cricket I saw of both of these games, and I'll be honest. I can't say I don't practice what I preach. I thought England, the way they got out was sort of fine for T20. Sometimes you just get out hitting the ball straight to cover. They did dig in a bit eventually, but the way they were actually out, it was sort of like, oh, he's just trying to hit that for four and he's got caught.
It happens. Yeah, literally, so the same thing that they celebrate, and they're like, England have won the World Cup by the barest of margin, all that kind of shit.
I don't think that guy was celebrating.
Oh, you know what I mean. But all the celebrations off the back of that, it was built on the back of this kind of approach. So I think people need to wind their neck in a little bit on that. Bowling strategy-wise, Max, or Jack, you raised around Chris Jordan. We've said since we started this podcast, we're not too sure on his ability to bowl at the death, but are we right? I think we are right.
I think it's just like he's very average. Like, so he has good days and bad days. It's not...
Yeah.
The thing is, he bowls at the most volatile point. So when it goes bad, it just looks really, really horrific. I don't think he's necessarily any worse than any of the other English options anyway.
Sometimes
probably better than him. But
sometimes Chris Jordan's unbelievable at nailing Yorkers. But when the wheels come off, they proper come off. That's the problem.
It's also a difficult thing to do, right? Bowl Yorkers at the death, as you say, in a volatile time. But we do seem to struggle with that bit. I mean, Morgan in his like recent passes, we've gone to like Chris Wokes in kind of that bit where the ball's not swinging. He's just cannon fodder. We just don't seem to have adapted our approach to that part. We've got so much of it right. It just feels at the end, Max, we kind of let ourselves down a little bit.
Well, I mean, Tamil Mills was in there to be a death bowler, wasn't he? And obviously he wasn't playing in that second game. Mm. And in the first game, there wasn't really much death bowling to be done. So it's kind of irrelevant. But you saw in the World Cup when England lost Tamil Mills, they sort of lost that ability to actually try and keep it tight at the end. So I think that is a problem. There's obviously a need to find someone to it. They tried Tom Curran doing it. We know that doesn't work. So... yeah, there's a skill set there that needs to be addressed. But also, there was a mindset in that second game. Aside from like whether or not you think England have got the players to bowl at the death or they need to work on it, they obviously didn't care. The game was over and they were just fucking slapping it. They were slapping it in the slot and like just like all I need to do is just bowl legal deliveries and we're fine. And in the end, Saki Mahmood nearly didn't bowl enough legal deliveries and actually almost lost it. But there was a lack of care, I think.
Yeah. So I think what we're saying is people need to chill out.
The two West Indians were good though, weren't they?
It's a relevant cricket.
Yeah. But Jason Holder bowled really well in the first game. I think we should say that. He's actually transformed himself into a pretty handy T20 player. Mm. Sure, somebody will shell out some loot for him at the IPL auction coming up. And then the two batters,
Hussain and Shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were Hussain at number 10.
Yeah, in terms of like that, and this is the great thing around this approach to T20 cricket, though I really enjoyed it. Although the game felt like it was almost gone, like it put jeopardy back in it, right? Because of the hitting, because of that stuff. And I like the fact that it is just almost a coin toss in this, because you have no idea what's going to happen. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think there's just a bit around what their setup looks like. They're still trying to figure out their team, right? And they've obviously got Pollard as captain, who's it's not really worked for him, really. But I think he, in terms of his stats in this. He's got, I think he's got a strike rate of about 135 in T20 internationals, average of 24. No, the averages aren't the best indicator in T20 cricket, but it just hasn't really happened. But he's trying to build that team for the World Cup. And I think they seem to have bounced back from the defeats against Ireland and are starting to have a little bit of shape and a little bit of confidence in their approach, I think. What do you think about that?
Yeah, they're all right.
They did lose to Ireland, though, so yeah. There's that.
They did lose to Ireland, and they're playing England B team. They do have some blokes who can hit big sixes and can do it quite consistently. I think, hopefully Odion Smith plays all of the matches, because he is an absolute tank. And I want to see him. He has hit some of the cleanest sixes. He hits. So I watched the Ireland. I actually watched some of the Ireland games. He hit a six onto Sheldon Cottrell's Land Rover. It was amazing. I want to see more of that. Basically,
love it.
Right, there's three more matches. There's one tomorrow, Saturday, and then another one after that. what do we want to predict who will win, Ross?
Yeah, fine. I reckon England will win.
Scores?
I think it'll be 3-2.
3-2, Maximus?
Oh, he's taken 3-2 out of my...
Yeah, it's the clever play, isn't it?
Let's say it's a tall draw and one of them's going to be rained off.
4-1, West Indies.
Oh, nice. Oh, bold. Nice. There we go. God,
that's complete. Yeah. Look, they'll be fun. I actually probably will. I mean, I know that I was a bit negative about them, but I probably will watch the other ones.
I enjoyed settling down on a Sunday night, put the cricket on in the
it's
background.
Nice. It's a lovely time for cricket to be on, isn't it? Seven till ten, basically.
Yeah. And it was a nice, that second game was a nice moment for Reece Topley as well, managing to get back in the side after injury problems. The Surrey digging. I mean, the run out was excellent. My favourite bit about the run out, though, was that it was LBW.
Right. For anything else on this, we'll probably have another show or so at some point, won't we, on these matches. Mm-hmm. So are we good for now? Any final words? Any notes that you want to use?
No. I think just what is the point in Liam Dawson? And I'm going to leave that one just hanging.
That is a good question. You could probably do a whole series on that, couldn't we?
The bench warmer from the last three World Cups has been like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. Yeah.
He bowled one over, didn't he?
Yeah.
didn't go that well. Right. if you're listening on the podcast, we're going to take a break and come back. If you're on YouTube, we'll be on another video. Goodbye.
We love hearing from our listeners, so please follow us at The Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Or if you have a great story, like Scotty G did, about The Haydon Way, Matthew Haydon's personal website, we want to hear about it. So from wherever you're from, send us in a great story and we'll read out on the show. Email us on thecricketpod@gmail.com. Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Cricket Podcast, where we're going to be talking about the IPL losers in terms of the retentions. And we'll have a winners segment if you're listening on audio, and a winners video if you're on YouTube. But before we start, just a reminder, like and subscribe to The Cricket Podcast on whatever platform you are on. We're on Twitter and Instagram at The Cricket Pod, and Patreon in the show notes. Go and click this now. patreon.com/thecricketpod. We're on 29 Patreons. I haven't got the list in front of me. We'll do some shout outs to new Patreon soon. We haven't got it in front of me, but we want to get to 30. We need one more. There are 6 days left in January. I think we can do it. Winners and losers. What we're going to do, I have in my own time decided on the five IPL retention winners and the five IPL retention losers. Max, who are we going to start with?
We're starting with the losers. Do you want to start with the name of a team? The worst losers first.
We can do worst losers. Yeah, then it kind of works, doesn't it? If you're listening on audio, we'll build up to the top.
Build up to the best winners.
It's a little bit annoying for my notes because I've written it in a different way, but it's fine. So the worst loser at the IPL, according to Jack Hope on the Cricket Podcast, it's we all know who it is. Sunrisers Hyderabad. They retained Kane Williamson, Abdul Samad, Malik, whose name I've forgotten. Umran Malik, that's it. Thank you, Max. 22 crore spent, which is 2.2 million pounds. an average of 7.3 crore per player, leaving them with a pot of 68 million. Boys, do you think I'm correct in saying that they are the biggest loser at the IPL? I mean, they are the biggest loser at the IPL, but yeah. in this particular context as well, Max.
Well, yeah, they had one job. Keep Rashid Khan. They failed. That's it, innit? One job, lads.
That's all they needed to do.
Literally, the only
and
thing they needed to do.
They could have been competitive.
Yeah, they could have spent their whole budget on him. But they should have just been like, have as much money as you want. You want to be captain as well? Go for it.
Anything good about this? Umran Malik, Ross.
I think if you think around what is in short supply in the domestic market in India, actually out-and-out pace bowlers, we're on that list, right? Malik fulfills one of those bits. He's young. He demonstrated that he is pretty decent as well. He got a bit of experience last time out. And then Samad, obviously a bit of a hitter. He does bowl a tiny bit. I'm not sure you're going to pick him for his bowling, but again, was an exciting player. They've kind of gone with youth plus Kane Williamson, which is an interesting approach.
Kane Williamson was awful at the IPL last year as well. I can't believe they retained him.
I just the captaincy stuff just baffles me. Like we've had a Dan Weston on the show before.
We like Dan Weston. He's a millionaire.
And I like Kane Williamson. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But in terms of like the captain bit, like, is it really making that much of an impact? Because I know that they've also brought in like Brian Lara behind the scenes. I think Vikram Solanke's is he going to Sunrisers or going to Ahmedabad?
He's going to Ahmedabad directly. Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's all kinds
Which
of changes.
Bad news for them.
So yeah, Jack, I don't think you're getting any.
Okay, so they're the biggest losers.
I mean, what I would say is that it is nice that they've kept Samad and Malik, isn't it? Because like you say, Ross, they're the two exciting young talents from that side. So it's not the actual possible worst situation. But yeah, I mean,
well, hopefully they don't go pick.
They've got to have a bloody good auction,
and now they don't.
And also their retention, their auction strategy has been so bad that last time they shut the laptop down before it was even over.
Second biggest losers, and again they're one of the historical great losers in the IPL. Punjab Kings, formerly known as the artist, formerly known as Kings 11 Punjab. They've retained Mayank Agarwal and Arshdeep Singh for 18 crore, 9 crore per player. That averages out at leaving them 72 crore at the auction, about £7.2 million, which is a pretty healthy stack of cash to spend. Max, I think they're a loser, but some people think 72 crore in the bank is a win. Where do you stand?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, KL Rahul obviously is like the big name that they're missing, but we'll get to no doubt we'll get to him later. Arshdeep, I like, good player. Agarwal's all right, and he'll be fine as like an anchor at the top, but they're gonna have to recruit so well.
I think that's harsh on Agarwal.
No, I mean, yeah, maybe he's. Him and KL Rahul is just that really frustrating partnership, isn't it? So if they can get someone a bit more explosive at the top to go along with him, that could actually work pretty well. But again, like for me, losing Bishnoi is just sad, isn't it? Because he's great. That's where they lose, I think, for me.
Not really that much money, Bishnoi and like Shahrukh Khan or something like that. Like the players. Yeah. If you think about what you're trying to do here, you've got to fill 11 places 14 times over the IPL. What does that work out at? It's 121, isn't it? If you square 11. So let's say 160 places. And in those 160 places, you need to generate as many wins above average as possible with your squad. Now, Agarwal and Arshdeep do generate wins above average, and they're going to fill up 22 of those spots that you have over the IPL. So you're doing okay with them. I think Ravi Bishnoi adds value. He's a win above average. At 4 crore, he's a good value win above average as well. And I think Shahrukh Khan is no worse than sort of break even. And he might be slightly better than he's shown flashes. I think you could have got him for not much money as well. Well, they could have because he's uncapped. Maybe they didn't want to. You know, maybe they just said, I don't want to play for you anymore.
The players themselves get a say in it, don't they? So there is that to think about. But it doesn't make them any less of a loser if they lose the player. Even more so, if the player doesn't want to play for them, what does that say?
Well, yeah, Bishnoi took the same money somewhere else. So
And it's that bit, again, comes down to like the structure of that franchise. So the structure of Sunrisers, awful. The structure of Kings 11 Punjab Kings, also not very good. Kumble has not put himself in any good position for them. So, yeah, disappointing.
Last question on them. Mohammed Shami, as the third retention, does a job up front with the ball, at least.
I don't think it'd be that expensive at the auction if they want to get him back.
Okay. Well, there you go. Max has made a call that Mohammed Shami will be bargain basement.
Well, not bargain basement, because he's an Indian seamer, but, you know, I think...
I'd have probably gone with the other two that we said. Next on the list, this becomes there's a middle of the pack here that I think are kind of around break even. And the list I shared with you, I've actually moved them around a little bit. Mm. Rajasthan Royals, Sanju Sampson, Joss Butler, and Yashasvi. I think I've got that right again. I always get that name wrong. Jaiswal, the youngster. Who actually was all right at the end of last season. I've got them down as the third loser. They spent 28 crore, 9.3 crore per player, 62 crore in the bank. Nice. That's nice. You can go to auction with that. but I have them down as a loser, Ross. Sampson and Butler, though, that's something to be positive there, right?
Yeah, I think last time we saw, they could have easily tried to retain like the talent they had from within their squad for overseas players. Actually, Joss Butler was the pick of those batters. It's interesting that they've gone for they're 1-2-3. Now, if you look at what their squad is going to be, they've already decided this is what our batting order is going to be at the top of the order. And in T20 cricket, like, you want to at least try to retain some kind of talent in the bowling department. But what did they really have? Liam Livingstone was an option. Jofra has been injured. Chris Morris has retired. Out of this, I don't think they've done as badly as some of the others who you're about to talk about. And I'm obviously a diehard Rajasthan Royals fan.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, you are. I shouldn't have gone to the super fan first, because we were going to get biased.
But again, yeah, it's quite an interesting approach to pick your top three batsmen and just be like, yep, we're done with that. We don't need to worry about what's going to do.
So the reason I've got them down as a loser overall is that I think if you go back to that wins above average thing, I think Sampson offers less than a lot of the other players that have been retained. And I think Jaiswal probably doesn't offer loads. Butler's
that's a future pick, though, isn't it, Jaiswal? I mean, he's...
Well, there's a lot, you know, in 3 years' time, this could sound like the dumbest thing ever when he's opening the batting for India or something, but I know you can't just pick another player from another side here, but I think there are better batters out there in the auction pool that you could have brought in. He is cheap as shit, though. So
yeah, I also think Samsung, again, we've seen how much value that the IPL franchises place on their captain. Samsung is their captain. I thought he did okay last year. Actually,
it's fine. No. I agree. I don't necessarily think they've retained the wrong players. I just don't think that they're very good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're hamstrung by what they had in the first place. Of what they had, they probably made the right call.
Next on the list, would you say they were a winner or a loser, by the way? I think that was the game, wasn't it, Ross?
I don't think they're the third loser. I think the team you're about to say next to the third loser, I think they're probably they're very middling. I think they're
I've moved this around again here.
All right,
I don't know. This is very close. I'll go with what I initially put down. Kolkata Knight Riders, I've got as the fourth loser. They retain Andre Russell, Chakravarti Iyer, of the Venkatesh variety, and Sunil Narine, 42 crore spent there, which is a lot of money, 10.5 crore per player, 48 to go to auction. Now, I think they've made the same mistake that they made the last time they did this, which is that they've retained a load of quite sexy looking players when they're fit, and quite good players, let's be honest, when they're fit. But with a lot of injury problems, a lot of age problems, a lot of does he bowl with a straight arm problems. I do really like Chakravarti, though, and I think Venkatesh Iyer is a pretty decent snag as well. I think they're good. Max, what do you reckon?
I mean, they've spent nearly half their pot. That's mad, isn't it? That's the big problem. You've got Andre Russell, who's, you know, he's his creaky knees are always an issue in the IPL. Mm. And yeah, like you say, like on his day, he's phenomenal. Well, like, what a player. But I mean, how many of those, like you say, if you're like going with 160 slots, you're going to have to cut that in half already for the amount you're going to get out of Andre Russell. So to be like chucking that much money on it is bold. Sonnen Orion had a bit of a renaissance towards the end of the last IPL, so that's probably got him a nice wedge. If that doesn't go so well, he's in they're in big trouble. And yeah, like Chakravarti's quality player. We saw that by how difficult
Smash he
was
to score. Smashed around the World Cup, didn't he? Smashed around the World Cup and fitness problems as well. But yeah, he's got upside.
In the IPL, it wasn't until the final that he conceded more than 24 runs in a game. So that's a pretty good record. And then, yeah, Venki Iyer, he's the man about town, isn't he? He's the poster boy for the next generation.
It's interesting, though. Could he be another flash in the pan? You know, we talk about you come onto the circuit and you just like, this guy's brilliant. And but it, again, fills that rare position of being a batting all-rounder. And he's
spent a lot of money on somebody who has played 7 good games.
Yeah.
8 good games.
Yeah. And what do we normally see? We normally see them come up and then they dip a little bit and then they get better. But actually here, not so sure.
Hopefully they're good. I mean, we're speeding through a little bit.
I think they're in trouble.
So we're saying definite losers here. Should they have been below Rajasthan?
I'd say so, yeah. Okay.
If you go back to the idea, you've got 160 spaces to fill over the IPL and you've got to get as many wins above average as possible. You can spend half your money on 4 players. That isn't a problem, but those players have got to play every game.
Yeah,
they're gonna have to get like sponsorship from like Deep Heat and like an ice company.
Right, last team in the losers half, and they haven't got a name yet. They just have Ahmedabad. They have picked up, not retained, but picked up Hardik Pandya, Rashid Khan, Shubman Gill. Now, they've spent 38 crore on that, so they've got 52 at auction, which is pretty good. Rashid Khan's obviously, you know, amazing, and I think he saves this because they've got one need, Hardik Pandya, and one paced, Shubman Gill, as their other two players, quite a lot of money. But Rashid Khan probably does balance that out to a fairly neutral set of players. Agree?
It's interesting around Hardik, right? Hardik has not been fit enough to bowl.
He could
for
be
India.
Amazing.
Yeah, then this is it. If Hardik is fit and he can bowl, I generally think that he's going to struggle to bowl as like again in his career. Like, I generally think it's that kind of injury. He's been a really weird one to manage over the last 2 years, and it hasn't really come out the other side. I don't think.
If he bats as well as he did 2 years ago, then you know if he bats 75% as well as that, then he is like justifiably in the team as a number 6 specialist batter captain. And I think
it'd be better than Morgan, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he's probably worth the money for that. So it's not a complete bust. I don't like Shubman Gill very much. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, it's again an interesting one. You're picking someone who is trying to be India's Test match opener as your third pick in here, and it's just, so even if like, I saw some of the justification around it saying that, well, maybe he's a future captaincy pick. It's just like, why are you picking him? Like, it just makes no. Why would you do that? I just don't understand.
Get Manish Pandey for free if you want to captain.
Go Pujara. He's really scored a lot quicker recently in Test.
When you've got options around, I don't know what. Even those Rabada's available, Johnny Bairstow's available. David Warner's come back into form, right? Even those guys, when you've got those also in the pack that you could have picked from, I'm kind of wondering what should they have done. Even like Shreyas Iyer is a better option than
Shubman Gill's a bust for me, like big time. That's just a waste. That's a wasted pick. Yeah. Right. You don't need to pick him. But I think Hardik is a punt that's well worth taking because I mean, look, you're a new franchise, you get a big name, and he's exactly the sort of slot that, as an Indian, you know, local player.
If Hardik is fit, he is the second best Indian player.
100% worth taking a punt on, and if it doesn't work, I think then let him go next year and sign someone else. But
yeah, but if he is fit then, and he can bowl, I genuinely think after Jadeja, he's the second best player you can pick if you're Rashid Khan.
So.
Right, we're going to wrap this segment up because we want to make these into two shows and we're running out of time. So goodbye, everyone. Click like and subscribe on YouTube. Otherwise, if you're listening, we'll be back in like 2 seconds after whatever jingle I play.
Pujara, 6 for 9 at Cockermouth. That's Ben Stokes' old club, isn't it?
Pujara.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Cricket Pod for the final segment of our audio show, or this special video if you're watching on YouTube. A reminder, we are at the Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram. You should like and subscribe and share this thing, this podcast that we do on whatever platform you want to choose, or use your word of mouth. Use your mouth. You don't use your word of mouth, do you? Use your mouth to do that. And we're on Patreon at the Cricket Pod. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/thecricketpod. If you want to support us directly, we're on 29 Patreons. We want to get to 30 by the end of January. Be the hero. That's all I'm saying in the show notes. We're talking IPL winners. We've done the losers segment. It features Sunrisers, Hyderabad, Punjab Kings, Rajasthan Royals, Kolkata Knight Riders, and Ahmedabad Cricket Club. Now we're on to the winners. So counting us up to the ultimate winner, we will start with fifth place. And I think I might get some pushback from you on this. Fifth place, I've got the fifth best winner of the IPL retentions. That makes no sense, but I think it does make sense. You understand where I'm going with this. Royal Challengers Bangalore, they retained Kohli, Maxwell and Siraj for a combined 33 crore, leaving them 57 at the auction. Max, are you happy with that if you are that Kiwi bloke with the glasses?
Yeah, I am, I think.
I definitely thought you were talking about Daniel Fittori for a second and then realised you were talking about Hessen.
I'd say so. I mean, Glenn Maxwell's the big win, isn't it? Keeping Glenn Maxwell. He was mm-hmm. so good in the World Cup and the IPL. So that was, the hilarious Punjab loss. Siraj got better and better, didn't he, in T20?
Yeah, he's quite good now, yeah.
He's brilliant. And, Kohli... probably brings it back down again, doesn't it? But you can't not pick Kohli, can you?
Exactly.
You get absolutely hammered. So they're kind of in a it's a catch 20. Well, I know you wouldn't, but you're not in charge
fired.
Of it. You're
as
not
as
in charge
tried to
of
do that. You'd have been fired.
You don't have a job that you need to keep.
Virat Kohli would have been the one to fire you too. Like, you don't understand how this works.
You make a side hustle out of having a go at Virat Kohli, and that's absolutely fine. These guys make a hustle out of having Virat Kohli, and they had no choice. So that's kind of hamstrung
it's okay.
by that. But
it's okay.
It's not bad, is it? Let's be honest.
Siraj is probably an above average bowler. On his day, he'd be very above average, but not in his career, iffy. Maxwell is super high value, I think. And Kohli.
I would have just liked
he's
him
got
to see...
the talent to be really good. We've seen it, but also we've seen ball eater Kohli, and
I would have just liked to see Devdutt.
I would have liked to see
that's
that.
That's
the
as thing, well. Isn't it? Paddock.
I think that's a shame. Yeah. I think that is a shame.
But he'll get picked up, and he'll get picked up for a reasonable amount of money, I reckon.
Yeah, or KS Barrett. That would have been a great retention. So they're the fifth. They're a winner, though. I think we agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Neck and neck with the Ahmedabadis, who I saw them labelled as.
The Ahmedabadis.
fourth most successful IPL franchise at retentions. They're quite a controversial one. They had a lot to choose from. Mumbai Indians, I've got them in fourth. Rohit Sharma, Jasprit Bumrah, Surya Kumar Yadav, and Pollard, that is to people who are uninitiated with the Mumbai Indians documentary. 42 crore, 48 in the bank. So they've spent a lot of money, but they do, for that money, get four pretty good players, Ross.
Yeah, I'm surprised you've got them this low, actually. I think the Mumbai Indian blueprint isn't a busted flush.
Now I see the order I've got them in, I think they could definitely be at least one higher.
possibly, probably two.
Yeah, I'm saying you've got the best bowler in T20 cricket. You've got kind of an unbelievable, a guy who has proven that he is an unbelievable hitter in IPL cricket, as well as giving a couple of overs. You don't always to bowl Pollard, but he's fine.
Yeah.
Rohit Sharma has had two.
And a great pair of mitts.
Yeah, Rohit Sharma is Rohit Sharma, and he's kind of like he leads that side unbelievably well. But from that point, but again. this is where I kind of agree with you a little bit, Jack, that Rohit Sharma's on the decline as a T20 player.
This is what I think. Him and Pollard, I think, are not bankers for the whole cycle.
Yeah, but there is a bit, right? The last year proved that actually elderly players don't do too badly with the CSK thing. So actually, there could be something there. And then Sky is a good pick. Like the coin toss between him and Kishan, I think they made the right decision with picking Sky.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. I think that'd have been a really tough one to call, because Ishan Kishan, in theory, could be the best player in the IPL, and he could be the best player in the IPL for 10 years. I don't think Sky's potential is that high, and his longevity is certainly not that long, but he has been better than Ishan Kishan.
See, that's what I'd have gone with Ishan Kishan for that forward-looking, especially if you're going with Rohit Sharma and Pollard, if you assume they're in there. I think you'd be better off with Ishan Kishan. You know, he can open as well. You know, he can open or he can bat three or four. He can keep wicket. He's got a bit more versatility.
It's kind of a win-now strategy.
It is hard, isn't it, sir?
I like it.
Yeah, it's a win-now strategy. And I think that's what the IPL is about, though, sometimes. They can talk about that kind of stuff. That's what you need to go for.
I have got them in the wrong order, because the team I've got above them, we're all saying winners here, aren't we? You're saying maybe the second or third best. I've put them in fourth. I think I'm wrong after talking about it. The third best, Lucknow, Super Giants. Well, first of all here, Super Giants, for fuck's sake, man. Like, get a proper name. You can't... I don't care about your company, and nobody else does. Call yourself the Giants. You know, it would be Super Giants. Why is there a super in there? There's not another Giants in the league that you're trying to one up.
That's what Ahmedabad are ruined. They were going to be called Ahmedabad Giants. Lucknow have come in and called themselves Super Giants. That's what's really
at least in some of the others. You know, you've got Punjab Kings, Chennai Super Kings. That makes sense. That's as the Australians would say, an alphaing right there.
So they could be the Super Knight Riders.
They could be Super Knight Riders, yeah. Super Capitals,
yeah.
Royals.
It's just annoying, and it's one of those things.
Super Sunrisers,
yeah.
Right. Anyway, we'll talk about the players, shall we?
Yeah, let's talk about the players. Kale Rahul.
They've got Rahul. They've got Stoinis, Marcus Stoinis, Stoin, and Ravi Bishnoi, who we talked about on the losers section. As you know, a mistake made by his former franchise. 30 crore they've spent, which isn't loads, and that means they'll have 59.8 in the bank going forward. Now, I've got them down as a winner, and I know this won't, you know, might not agree with me here, but I think Kale Rahul is definitely an above average player. I think Bishnoi is definitely an above average player, and they spent a lot on Rahul, but they balance it out nicely with Bishnoi. So you have to look at what they get for the 30 crore here. It's not, you know, if you break down the budget, you say, oh, they're spending too much on Kale Rahul. It's like, sure, but to have one player, you have to spend a lot. Like, to have, and then each player below that, you get like a discount kind of on the first player, if that makes sense. Hopefully it makes sense to you.
Yeah.
So if you're going to take one, you might as well take three. And I think they've, for 30 crore here, they've got three pretty decent players. Not wowed by Stoinis, but he's solid.
I don't mind Stoinis. He's proper getting into being a T20 specialist, isn't he? He really wants to be that, like, excellent finisher with useful
any
overs.
Overseas player, though, are you taking Stoinis?
No, absolutely
Or Johnny
not.
Bairstow. Like, they're your two options.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind. That's the thing. Like,
Bairstow might go and play Test cricket, so fair, but yeah.
I don't mind Stoinis. I think he's dedicated to T20, isn't he? So that's, I mean, there's that there. And I'm excited to see Kale Rahul. I want to see, because we get to test the theory, don't we? We get to test the theory whether his antics at Punjab Kings really are all the fact that he's got a terrible team around him and Anil Kumble told him not to bat properly. Do we actually get to see what Kale Rahul can actually do, or will he not be 17?
It wouldn't stun me at all if it turns out that he is a massive flat track bully and he's actually just an idiot that didn't realise he had to play more aggressively at Punjab Kings. Like that, you know, if he'd gone through the thought process and been like, I'm the best player, so I must play badly. Because that's what he was doing at Punjab Kings. It wouldn't stun me at all if it turned out when he has got a good team and he doesn't actually need to play as well, that he's like, oh, I'll play even better because now I've got a good team. That's how, you know, I don't know him. Maybe he's a lovely guy, but he calls himself King Legend, so I'm led to believe that he's a moron.
At least it's not Super King Legend.
Yeah.
Do you want to do any analysis on this team?
I think there's a bit where if you look at what they've positions they've got covered, right? They've got an opening bat, wicketkeeper, which is sorted. They've got a finisher in Stoinis, who is literally modelling his game on being one of the best finishers in the world and demonstrated that in the World Cup to an extent and the previous IPL. He's got that experience. And then with Bishnoi, they've got not only a young spinner who can be in the side, but actually a proven quantity already in IPL cricket. I think actually they've got a good balance there, and yeah, just completely depends what KL Rahul turns up, I suppose, every week.
We don't know who else they'll pick up as well. They have got 59 crore. We haven't really spoken too much about remaining budgets and stuff. There's a reasonably narrow range there, but they've given themselves a little bit of flexibility to go hard at a couple of players.
Yeah, they got the most out of the winners.
Yeah, I think they have. Well, they've got to pick up. I think the three players they've picked will play every game and contribute.
Yeah.
If they can get five more good players with all of that money, then it doesn't really matter who the others are, does it? They can just get on the bus.
I can see that they'll have to go for a pacer, right? Or would the Rabada is going to be high up on their list, but because of one, recency bias; two, he was a purple cap holder not 2 years ago. But
Marky Wood,
maybe
should be Chris Jordan.
just going to rebuild Punjab Kings, but in luck fair.
Padakal and KL Rahul, that's my shout for their opening partnership.
Right, look, we're running out of time a little bit, and we've still got to do two teams, and they one of them is probably the biggest draw in the IPL, so we need to talk about them. And we're going to talk about them now, because they're second. Chennai Super Kings are the second biggest winner for me in the IPL 2021-2022 retention thing. Needs a proper name, that, or I need to learn what the name is. They have retained Jadeja, Dhoni, Gaikwad and Moeen Ali. 42 crore spent on that, 48 in the bank. I think that they have smashed it. Similar to RCB, they've got Dhoni in there for old time's sake, but he's not the most well-paid player, so they haven't made that mistake. He could retire and they'll have loads of money at an auction in the future. Jadeja's amazing. Gaikwad, you're
good,
taking him. Yeah, he's arguably the best.
Well, he won the Orange Cap.
Young talent.
He's not that young.
Well, whatever.
But he's a wunderbloke.
Under 30, isn't he? And he's a wunderbloke. And then Moeen Ali is a pretty top overseas player to have as well. Gives you spin options and hitting options. Are they the second best, or would anyone argue with that?
I just think because of Dhoni, they won. Obviously, they're the reigning champs. They won, but Dhoni's contribution was so limited, wasn't it, last year? I think he had one game where he actually hit kind of a six, perhaps.
That was Tom Curran.
Doesn't really count. But the others, right? Jadeja is the best Indian T20 player, if not the best Indian player in the world right now. Moeen Ali is an absolute top player, and that complements Moeen, complements Jadeja really well in that lineup. And then, as you say, Gaikwad.
And now he's out of the England Test team as well for good. That'll be helpful for them. Yeah. And then
it's coming home again, isn't it?
Yeah.
So. The thing that might undo them is that they'll buy all the old men back and try it one more time. I said that would be a problem last year. And
Batty Raidu, Suresh Raina, back in the fold.
Yeah. Harbhajan, he actually DJ did retire, Bravo, didn't he? But they might get him out of retirement. You don't know.
Well, that's Sunil Gavaskar has never retired, has he? According to him,
fellas, last team in this little micro show, the biggest winner of the IPL auction. Not, it's not the bloody auction, is it?
It's the retention list.
The best retention list winner. That's a stupid name for it. They need a
It's stupid because you didn't think this through when you were talking about it.
The best retainers, the champion retainers.
Hmm. The Kings are keeping their players. Delhi, I came up with it on the spot. It was okay. That's like, I give myself 7 out of 10 for that. Delhi Capitals, they have kept Rishabh Pant, Akshar Patel, Prithvi Shaw, Henrik Nokia, 42 crore spent, which is a lot. Gives them not too much to play with at the auction, but they have got four absolute star players there, I think. Nailed on certainties to play. They cover all different roles. I love what they've managed to achieve, which is basically have a list of players and pick the best four. Ross.
Yeah, having the strongest contingent of domestic players is typically a good thing because it allows you to fill your overseas spots. we're filling the gaps, right?
Yeah, in one of these, in these situations, having the best players in the first place was definitely an advantage, right?
But like in this squad, like Anrik Norkia is definitely that's a great person. Just be like, they had to pick between him and Rabada. They went with someone who was a better track record last year. And actually, like I'm pretty sure he had a torrid IPL two IPLs ago, but then last year was supreme. Pant is obviously their captain and actually just a supreme talent. And then with Shaw, they've got a long-term pick there who's actually knows his craft really well, knows how to bowl in those conditions. He's not brilliant with the bat. I think he bats a little bit too high for them last year.
I assume we're talking Akshar here rather than Shaw.
You've not heard. Pretty sure he's bowling.
Pretty sure he's remoulded himself.
Yeah. It's good. Left arm off spin.
Oh, it's good, isn't it? It's a good selection they've got there. Can't pick too many holes in that. And you look like they spent almost exactly the same as KKR, and then you compare like for like each one. You know, you maybe would take Chakravarti over Akshar Patel, and that is it, isn't it?
I think you probably would, but yeah. That is it. Yeah.
You're putting context on that. KKR, they're fucked.
Right, fellas. Any final words on this? I know people have got to head off.
All good.
Looking forward to the auction.
I'm looking forward to it as well. It's only 2 or 3 weeks away now. I think 12th, 13th February. Yeah. As always, never really clear if you can't speak Hindi.
I think on that front, when it comes to the auction, we'll have a load of shows building up to that, figuring out who they're going to do,
We should do a top 20 players at the auction or something like that.
Yeah, sounds like
something along those lines. Anyway, thank you very much for listening and watching. Patreon.com/thecricketpod. We need one more person to take us to 30. You know, one more. Max, you could do it.
Yeah, I did it before, didn't I? It was.
It cost
me transaction fees.
Very small transaction fees. Well done, Max, at the Cricket Pod. See you later, everyone. Thanks for listening and watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.